Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, WIP Midday Show live in Clearwater, Florida. Joining us right now, Philly second baseman Bryce Estott. Bryson, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. We're ready. We're ready for the season. How you feeling? Ready?
Yeah, we're good. Good to go. So we're excited too.
You know, we're kind of curious, Bryce, because last year, you know, you guys set a lot of goals about how you want to approach the season. You know, win a lot of games. You know, win the division, go to the World Series. This year hasn't been a whole lot of talk about that. The mission is still the same, though, right? We're still trying to get to the World Series, even though we're not talking about it a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of always the goal, right, when you start a season. And, I mean, that's been our goal. It's always been our goal. And just taking it one day at a time. You don't want to look too far ahead. If you're playing the Dodgers one week, you don't want to look ahead and say, oh, we got the Braves next, or we got the Mets, or whoever it may be. You just want to win that game. And we're looking forward to March and then April and then May and then so on and so forth. And then when the playoffs get here, we'll focus on that. So
is that's kind of been the message? You know, you're a good baseball team. I mean, nobody's disputing that. But is the message more now, let's we're done talking about it, we know we're a good team, let's just go ahead and get through the season and get to the postseason? Is that what it is?
I mean, you could talk about it as much as you want, you still got to go out and do it. And I mean, I feel like that's kind of where we're at. I mean, we'll talk about it and say, how do we get there, how do we do it, things like that. But it's more of play today's game, go out and do what we're supposed to do, and we'll be right where we want to be.
How's your health? I mean, you talked about it a little bit when spring training first started, what happened last year, and had you ever experienced anything like that before? Because watching you last year, I thought the first month and a half you were picking up where you left off the year before and like what we had seen early in your career, and then you struggled down the stretch, and none of us really knew why. You obviously were feeling something. So what happened in Miami, and how did that affect your swing throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, I just took an awkward swing, and I think it was facing Brazoban, and it's kind of wasn't supposed to be a check swing, and it kind of was. I think it was a hanging slider or something that I usually hit, and my fingers just went numb, and I was like, what just happened? And fouled a pitch off again, and I still got that kind of tingly feeling, and then it was fine for a couple days, and then I took another awkward swing, and it was more of I mean, we swing with so much force, and when you are out front or swing and miss, you kind of get a hyperextension that not a lot of people feel. And just me throwing right-handed as well, I don't think it ever really calmed down. And it was the weirdest thing, because I'd be in the cage, it was fine. When I hit the ball, fine. Just hitting the ball kind of stopped that kind of jolt. And it was It's going to sound really dumb, but only when I swung and missed, just because there was nothing stopping the force and the snap of your arm. And, yeah, it kind of just never calmed down. But, yeah, when I hit the ball, it was good. It was just that just force of swinging and missing that would fire it up. And then hand would tingle for a second, and then I would feel fine until I did it again. And, yeah.
How tough was that for you, knowing that you're dealing with that and going into the season with the expectations that you obviously have for yourself and not meeting those, and basically being here in Philadelphia and people seeing that and you can't say anything about it? How tough of a season was that for you, knowing that you were a little banged up and couldn't really say a whole lot?
Yeah. I mean, it was tough looking up and being like, wow, I'm hitting 220 again. And it was less of my arm hurting. It was more of like I could play and I wanted to play. And Topper has a lot of trust in me, and he knows if I couldn't swing the bat, I would go up and tell him. And but that was the thing. It was like cage and everything was fine, like I said. And I think I got into some bad habits, just subconsciously not wanting to swing and miss. Mm-hmm. Kind of try to see the ball a lot deeper. Then started getting kind of blown away by heaters again. And I think that was just a subconscious thought of, I don't want to swing and miss. I don't want to go get a slider. I don't want to do that. But in the box, I'm not thinking of it. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of this weird thing I kind of got myself into. And then I would fly open. I would lose momentum to first. And couldn't really hit the ball to left, because that was the one I was like, I can't get out there and do it because I don't want to swing and miss. But, yeah, it was
so tough. So you was playing a lot of mental gymnastics during the course of the season. That sounds really tough.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I wasn't thinking of it. Like, I wasn't in the box and I'm like, well, I can't do this because my arm's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, more of a subconscious when I started missing sliders that were down the middle that I usually do damage on, or curveballs that I see right away. And I'm like, how am I hitting that to center? Those are the ones I hit homers to right. I hit doubles to right. Just little things like that I kind of looked back and was like, maybe it was a subconscious thought. And yeah, grinded through it and still tried to affect the game on defense, running bases and things like that. So I was always taught that there's three phases, and if you can't affect the game in one part, you still have two other ones that you could help the team. And that's what I tried to do. Obviously, I wasn't going up there saying I'm going to get out, but I was still trying to put together long at bats and work the pitcher and get on base and get my hits and help the team. So,
Philly second baseman Bryson Stott with us here on the Midday Show. All right, so a lot of talk this camp about approach at the plate for the team. It's funny, though, because you're kind of the opposite of some of your teammates. You know, a lot of guys on this team will chase and expand the zone. You take a lot of pitches. You work deep counts. But for you, sometimes it feels like it feels to me is they're trying to get you to, like, sometimes be aggressive but keep your patient approach. How is that going for you? Where are you in terms of that balance of if there's a good pitch to hit, crush it, but you're generally a patient hitter at the plate?
Yeah, I think I've always been like that, even in college. I trust my abilities, and I know I could hit, and if they get me 0-1 or whatever it is, like, it's fine to me. And I hate ending in a bat on one pitch, and I care about our pitchers a lot. If they have semi-long inning, I'm going to try to see as many pitches as possible and give them a breather, because our rotation is strong. It's, I think, the best in the league, and those guys are going to win us a lot of games. So keeping them not tired and things like that throughout the game, so they could go into those 6th, 7th, 8th inning, and yeah, just going from there. But yeah, I'm comfortable swinging at the first pitch, but like I said, it's not uncomfortable for me to be 0-1 or 2-2 or anything like that. So
a lot of talk this spring about the lineup, and maybe Topper's going to change it. Maybe it's going to be Schwarber still at the top, or maybe Bryce. Do you care where you hit? Has it ever been a thing? Because you moved around. I mean, a lot of bottom when you first got here, but you moved to the middle, 5 a lot, you know, 3 at times. You've been all over the place. Does it matter to you where you hit? And does it matter to players? Because we talk about it all the time. Like, we make big things about it on this station, about who's sitting where. How big of a deal is it?
For me personally, I know I don't care. It's it's more of being in the lineup. I know Topper knows that, and I tell him I just want to play. I'll hit one through nine, and I think I've hit everywhere in the lineup in my career. I was missing two for a second, and then I hit second once, and I told Topper I won the lineup card because I finally hit all nine. But I think for some guys it matters. I don't know if it's a matter like, oh, I can't hit if I'm not hitting here. I think it's more of a they like to know who's in front of them, who's behind them, how they're getting pitched a certain way. And I think some guys, for sure, it'll matter where they are, but not for me. I don't care.
Yeah, it'll be a thing all season long. Bryce Estrada is with us here as we get ready for Phillies opening day in 9 days. We're at spring training live in Clearwater, Florida. All right, so this division, it looks like it's going to be really, really good again. So last year, you guys take it. The years before it was the Braves. Now the Mets had Juan Soto, and we know you guys played them last year in the playoffs. What's it like playing in the NL East where it feels like every night you might be playing another playoff team?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like. And everyone's got good pitching. Everyone's lineups are deep, and that's what makes the game fun is you go out and you know it's good on good, and you got to play your best to win, and we did that a lot last year and won the division, and not so great in the playoffs, but yeah, this year, I mean, the Mets added, and the Braves seem to always be good, and the Nats have pitchers, and they got some young hitters that can really hit, and the Marlins, they always seem to find one or two guys that no one's ever heard of that are throwing 100 and are nasty out of the pen, and Sandy's coming back and things like that. So I feel like just up and down the East, it's you're never taking a day off, it feels like.
What's Citizens Bank Park like in October? You've been up for a few years now, and I mean, we're always in October since you've been here. Like, and you've been in a lot of these big playoff games. I think back to the sound in that park when you hit that ball down the line against the Mets in Game 2 last year. Like, what's it like being in Citizens Bank Park in October?
I don't know. It's kind of a surreal feeling, and I think my first time in the playoffs in 22 was my first year, so obviously my first time, but JT and Seggy at the time and guys that have played 7-8 years that had never made it, and that's all we heard about. The Phillies didn't go to playoffs for a little bit, and that's all we heard about around the stadium, around the clubhouse, from the fans, is just wait till October, and it just blew away any expectation that we may have had. They're loud every pitch, and yeah, you can't even hear yourself sometimes, and I'm yelling after the triple, and I don't even know what I'm saying. I can't hear it. Dusty's trying to tell me something, and I'm like, I got nothing for you. I don't know what you're saying, but if they hit a chopper, I'm going to run. And yeah, it's incredible, and we can't thank them enough for all they do for us, and we try to do whatever we can to win for them. So,
did you get a chance to watch the Eagles parade? And like, did you put yourself there? Because I have to think, like, you guys have been so close, and then watching the Eagles get there and have a parade. Did you watch it, see it, and kind of think about what it would be like for you guys?
I didn't watch it fully. I think we were here working out and doing things like that. I saw Cooper DeJean get hit with a bottle or a can or a chain or whatever he did. But
yeah, it was wild.
Howie got hit in the face, too.
Yeah, I saw that. I was in the training room at the exact moment. So I was laughing at that. And, yeah, it looked nuts. And that's what we want. That's what the fans want. And we're going to do our best to make it happen.
Well, listen, man, we'll be rooting for you. Good luck. And have a great season. And hopefully we're in October and we're having one of those down Broad Street again. Thank you, Bryson.
Absolutely. Thank
there
you.
There he goes. Bryson Stott, Philly second baseman on the Midday Show. Kyo, it was fun talking to Bryson there. And as you know, he spoke about it when camp first opened, and then he expounded on it today with us. It sounded to me like that elbow gave him more trouble last year than any of us knew, because it was just something was off. He was not the same hitter in, you know, June, July, August that he was the beginning of that season or the year before. I feel like I feel better about his season now knowing that something was off last year.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was tough for him, and that's why I asked the question, how is it that you really can't say a whole lot? You just got to work through it. And he talked about that and how it kind of changed his approach and how subconsciously he had to deal with that. That's a lot going into a season knowing that you're off and still trying to toe that line of being a good hitter and not letting something that, like an injury, hold you back. That's a lot. That he had a lot going on.
The other thing that struck me is he and other guys that, you know, when all our shows have been down here, they all paid attention to the Eagles thing. You know, whether it be they watched it live or they kind of caught up. Like, I'm glad they saw that and paid attention to it as like an extra little source of motivation heading into this year. Like him saying that he got the chance to watch some of the parade and he saw the Coop thing. Because I have to imagine, for all of them, that's extra motivation to go win it this year for them. I mean, like, they watched another team right here in town win it last month and saw how much everyone loved that parade. That's got to push them even further.
Yeah, because you're envious to a certain extent. You're happy for the guys that are involved in it. You're happy for the fans of the team. And you just want to be a part of it. You want to see what that feels like. I don't know what that feels like, not to win it on this level. Don't know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to be a part of it and see other people do it, but to actually be that guy who's hoisting the trophy, don't know what that feels like. But it has to be one of the best feelings in the world to be able to win a championship, because it feels great watching them do it, watching some guys that you watch them come up through the program and put in the hard work to be rewarded the way that they did. So, yeah, it's one of those things that every time you see somebody win a championship, you're a little envious about that.
Yeah, and look, a couple of years ago, the Phillies looked like they were going to be the first one of this era to get there and win it, and now the Eagles have beaten them to the finish line. But I'm glad they all paid attention to it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We're live today. Phillies spring training in Clearwater, Florida.
Clearwater.
Yes. We will have Orion Kerkering with us coming up in a little bit. We're going to carry the Brandon Graham press conference live at 12. He has an announcement to make. We'll carry that at 12 today. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Right, let's get back to the conversation with him. You can react to the Stott interview, what he said to us, and who should it lead off for the 2025 Phillies. Get on the record today, as it feels like Topper's going back and forth and back and forth. Is it Turner? Is it Schwarber? Kyle and I, staying true to where we've always been.
Yep.
We are Kyle Schwarber leadoff people. We used to have Hugh with us here, Kyle. And
yeah, I'm trying to
we've
adapt.
Lost them.
I'm trying to adapt. I'm trying to get to the World Series.
No,
it's not like we're going to travel a lot.
You dig in, and you double down.
Well, it's kind of hard to do that this year, being as that they didn't change a whole lot. You know, we went into this offseason, baseball offseason, with the confidence that a few individuals weren't going to be here.
Well, remember, we had Buster
and
only
lo
on.
And lo and behold.
Remember, Buster told us he was confident they were going to land a star?
Yes.
They didn't do that.
And lo and behold, here we are. So now we're scrambling, trying to figure out, as a fan base, how excited are we about this season? And I think the consensus is, for most people, is, okay, holler at me when the postseason starts. I think that's the sentiment. Because I don't think anybody thinks that this is a bad baseball team. Out of all the people we talk to, fans included, nobody's ever said that this was a bad baseball team. Nobody says they stink in Phillies in the same sentence. So I think that everybody's just kind of, you know, we're going to sleepwalk probably through the season. Kind of feels like that's where we're going to go. And then, you know, wake us up in the postseason, see what we look like.
Well, they better not sleepwalk through the season.
No, they're not.
We'll keep them accountable.
Yeah.
Well, no, that – I mean, Kyle, there is something to have they reached Sixers territory. Not this version of the Sixers, but like 3 years ago Sixers,
yeah,
where wake us up in the playoffs. Like, we know they're good. They'll be there. Now that's when people really start to hone in on can they win a title.
Yeah, it definitely feels like there's some fatigue. Like, we were talking about it yesterday. It was kind of like the perfect storm of the disappointing finish, going backwards, and then just what was an underwhelming offseason, at least in terms of, like, star power or a name that they added. So I get it, but, you know, I'm more just – I just like having baseball on every night. You know, it's one of those kind of things that it's like a comfort thing. So I don't know if I'm necessarily like wake me up in October. Like, I'm going to enjoy the season.
Yeah. Also, while I said earlier, and I believe they're going to be in the playoffs, I don't think it's going to be from day one they're a lock. The NL's good. The Phillies are going to have to play well. So, you know,
yeah,
it's one of those, like, if they were in a bad division and we knew they were going to win the division, then it'd be like, all right, whatever, they'll be in the playoffs, then we'll see. They're going to have to fight. Yeah. I mean, if the Braves and Mets are as good as people think, the Phillies will be in the – could be.
Yeah.
I mean, they could still win the division. But they could end up in the wild card mix, which means they're going to have to play well to get there. Rob in Delco. What's up, Rob?
Joe, Hugh, what's up, boys?
Hey, Rob.
On, man?
Listen, real fast, just to switch topics for a second. I think we might have found something, Joe. It was one game. It was two games. I might be the only person in Philly watching the Sixers. Mm-hmm. But this Grimes, after we canned Daryl Morey and kick his ass out the door – I'll say thank you for Grimes. You know what I mean? I think we might have found a starter, Joe.
So here's my only issue with this, Rob, is he doesn't understand the assignment. He's playing too well. We need to lose these games. This guy's dropping 40 all the time. What is he doing out there?
Listen, I was a little worried last night. Gosh, because they were up big on Houston. I didn't know they were the second seed in the West.
Yeah, they're good.
And, I mean, listen, they lost, though. They're going to have a hiccup now and then. They'll finish with the fourth. At best, fifth worst record in the NBA. So, listen, crazy prediction before I touch on the Phils. They're going to win the championship. Hugh, call me crazy, okay, Hugh?
I'm listening.
They're going to win a championship, the Sixers, before the Flyers win the Stanley Cup, okay? They're going to win a championship before the Flyers win a championship.
You're out of
control. I'm not saying the Phillies or Eagles, because let's get it straight.
When you say that, like, are either of these things happening in the near future, or are we all going to be elderly by the time this happens?
I'm going to say within the decade, okay? Within
the decade?
Well, what do you want me to say, Joe? Next year? I mean, come on,
I'm just trying to figure out where the Sixers championship's coming from.
We're in 2025, so that's only another 5 years, you know what I mean? Within the next 5 years, you know? Within the decade.
Can you guys picture yourself at a Sixers parade in the next 5 years?
No. No, Rob, what are you talking
about? Over the Flyers, though, Kyle? Over the Flyers?
I guess that's a low bar.
Well, you know, you got to start somewhere, Hugh, right? I mean,
thank goodness we have the Eagles and Phillies. Otherwise, this bar is pretty low. All right, Rob, what do you got for us on the Phils? Turner or Schwarber? Who should lead off?
I'm with Hugh. I want Turner or Stein. I don't want to see Schwarber no more at the top. I got to see something different, Joe. And I know change for change's sake isn't always the right thing, but we're going backwards. World Series, NLCS, NLDS, and let's face it, the Braves are better, like you said. The Mets are better, like you said. And listen, if they don't get it done this year, you got to break it up. Like, I won't give Schwarber an extension. Castellanos hopefully will be gone, you know, and all these guys will be gone. They got to break it up if they're not getting it done. But I want to see something different. If it doesn't change his approach, which is what we're hoping it'll do to Turner, I want to see Stott, because I think he'll work the count. He'll let everybody see the pitches that are behind him. And I just don't want to see Schwarber at the top no more. I want to see him on base with guys on base. I want to see that solo shot become a three-run shot. So I'm going to go with Stott at worst, Turner best. So.
All right, you got it, Rob. So Rob's in camp change here. Change for change's sake, Kyle. The one thing this team does well is Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff spot. Change it.
Yeah, I don't get it. It feels desperate, to be honest with you.
So here's my question on the Turner thing. Let's say they try it and he struggles. What's the next spot for Turner? The bottom of the order? Like this is like they're pulling this lever, right? Mm-hmm. They've had him at two. It's been up and down. Now we're going to put him at one. We'll see if it ignites him. If this doesn't work, where is Trey hit? Because we always debate about where he's going to play. Eventually he'll play a different position. But he's got 9 years left on this contract. I mean, at some point, if it doesn't work at the top of the order and he's not playing well, he might be one of the most expensive middle or bottom of the order hitters. Or I say, forget middle, bottom of the order hitters.
Yeah,
in
I was thinking, because initially when you asked me, I was thinking maybe in the middle, like what?
Six?
I was thinking a little high, what, three, four, maybe? I don't know, because you presented a question that I wasn't ready for. What if it doesn't work?
Like, where does he go then?
Yeah, I wasn't prepared.
You weren't ready for that?
I didn't workshop that part because I'm like, what does that look like? Because I feel like he would be suited for it. I think he would thrive in that role. Because, like I said, for me, a guy that's never played baseball, when I think of that first position, thanks, Kyle. When I think of that first position, I think about all those intangibles that I told you about. Getting on base, number one. Taking a lot of pitches, putting pressure on the pitcher.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's simple. So that's why when you present it the way you present it, I don't see him. I don't see him failing at being able to do that, because that's the priority, isn't it? Isn't that the priority?
Get on base. Yes.
Yeah,
that's
it. That's it. You're the table setter. So I can't see him not being able to do that. Hell, you play more baseball. And I only threw out two pitches in my whole entire life. You should that's simple. That's simple right there.
Speaking of, should we ask Orion Kirkering to break down your
pitch? No, don't ask him.
I think we should do that. I think that we gotta have that today. All right, 215-592-9494. Here's what we got coming up. At 12:00, the Brandon Graham press conference. He has an announcement to make. We will carry that live on WIP. We will, on the other side, talk about the move. The Eagles actually made a move to bring in a player that I have some excitement about. For the first time in 2 weeks, we lost all these good players. We brought in some guys. But yesterday felt like the first time, like, all right, I see the vision on this one. I like the move. We'll get to it. Azeez Ojulari, the newest Philadelphia Eagle. They also restructured Lane's contract. We'll get to that as well. 215-592-9494. The BG press conference coming up. Your phone calls as well. Get on the record. Who should be the Phillies leadoff hitter? We are 9 days away from Phillies open day against the Nats. Turner or Schwarber? Who are you going with? 215-592-9494. It is Phillies spring training live from Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And you know, spring is in the air. You know what else that means? It's the smell of the grills firing up. It's that time to take cooking outside again, people. Picture this. You're in the backyard, and a juicy marinated tenderloin is on the grill and on the flat top. You know what it is. That's that Hatfield bacon sizzling to perfection. I love bacon. Now, that's what spring's all about. Longer days and great food with family and friends. Head to simplyhatfield.com for your recipes and retail locations near you. And put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Philly spring training. We are live in Clearwater, Florida, brought to you by Surfside Icy and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Later in the show today, Orion Kirkham will join us. I'm going to have to ask him about Hugh's first pitch. Maybe I'll show him the video of it and see what he thinks, because that was not great yesterday. We'll get to that. Brandon Grant press conference later for 12 today. We'll carry that in its entirety. BG has an announcement to make. And you know what, Hugh, before we get back to the phones on all things Turner Schwarber, where people come down as they get on the record today, who should be the Phillies leadoff hitter? We finally got an Eagles move that looks exciting on the surface. Yesterday, Hugh, the Eagles signed Azeez Ojulari.
Azeez!
The former Giant pass rusher. He was a second-round pick at one point. Now, he's had some injuries in the NFL, but Hugh, 22 sacks in 4 years in limited time. He can get to the quarterback. A Georgia kid, so, you know, obviously he knows these guys that are here. Hugh, I like this move. 1 year, $4 million. To me, this is the kind of one of all of them so far. Like, if I had to guess the move they made that a year from now or 6 months from now, we're like, wow, they got him for that, it's Azeez Ojulari.
Always liked Azeez coming out of college. Went to Georgia, like you pointed out. Was a young pass rusher. Didn't do a whole lot in New York. But he was pretty decent numbers. Pretty decent numbers.
22 sacks isn't bad for the games he played.
Yeah, that's not bad. you know, now he's going to come here and get an opportunity to play with some of the guys that he's very, very familiar with and just get a chance to resurrect his career in a sense. You know, get with a good football team, get in a program that has shown that if you play well, you will be rewarded. So he'll probably be looking at that along with the other guys that the Eagles have signed in with these one-year deals, saying that, you know, if you play well, you will be rewarded.
So he's started 30 games in his career and has 22 sacks.
That's not bad.
He gets to the quarterback.
Yeah, that's not bad. Not bad at all.
And look, if they had signed him for a lot of money, then it'd be like, well, he really hasn't proven much yet. But for 1 year, $4 million, this is my favorite move they've made of the offseason so far. And I wouldn't be surprised if a year from now we're like, they got to re-sign him. Or how much is it going to cost to re-sign
him? Yeah, I think that's probably what he's hoping for. You know, going to a good organization, playing with some guys that he's familiar with. You know, playing in a system that he's somewhat familiar with. So, yeah, there's a chance for a bounce back here.
Yeah, I think it has the most upside. I know people are excited about A.J. Dillon and his upside if he can stay healthy. Kyle, to me, this is the one that caught my attention. Of all the moves they've made so far, I was like, all right, now I see it. Like, this guy could be something. He's only 24.
Yeah, I mean, and another Georgia guy. But I'm a fan of the move. Elliott was kind of hitting towards it a lot.
Does this make him the insider of the year?
That's a good point.
It's a huge point for Elliott.
That's a lock.
Insider of the year thing.
Yeah, he was, and Azeez is a name people have heard of, especially because he's playing in the division. But like, he hasn't done enough that he's a household name.
Yeah.
And for Elliott to be on that, do we know when insider of the year? Like, how long it goes until they've announced who it is?
I think they're awarding it this week, right?
Yeah, this
tomorrow.
Month.
Okay.
Oh, tomorrow. Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, right at the buzzer. Yeah.
Well, oh, so Elliott got to have that. That got to be. He has to be the insider of the week, right?
Well, unless something else happens between now and then. I'm just saying. Yeah. I think this is a big. Yeah. It's a big move for the Eagles. It's a good move for the Eagles with the potential to be big, and it's big for Elliott for insider of the year.
To your point, it does feel like now they're starting to round off a good rotation of guys as pass rushers.
Yeah.
The Josh Uche is not like totally overly impressive, but like when you put them all together, it feels like they could be like a
formidable group.
Some of their parts. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how they were last year.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it, it's more like a pass rush by committee, and they played well together in the settings that they were put in.
Yep.
Yeah, you look at his numbers, it reminds me a little bit of Hassan Reddick's first 4 years. I know Reddick played off the – he was an inside linebacker, so it's not a perfect parallel, but their sacks are pretty similar their first 4 years. And then Reddick went to the Panthers, and he had a good year. Then he eventually came here after that. I think this kid could play. I like the move by the Eagles, Azeez Ojulari. And they also restructured Lane Johnson for what, like the 12th time?
Yeah.
Every year.
Annual tradition.
Lane's benefits tremendously from the restructure.
Yeah. Well, you know, it works for the Eagles because he never declines.
Right.
Like, just push that money in the future because he'll probably be really good 2 or 3 years from now. 215-592-9494. BG press conference coming up at noon. We're live at Philly Spring Training. Who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? Get on the record here, and you can react to the Azeez Ojulari move as the Eagles get themselves a pass rusher yesterday in free agency. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Is this Mr. Quinn? Mr. Quinn, who we haven't heard from, I guess it was, what, last week or 2 weeks ago? Mr. Quinn, what's up? Your son is really having himself a week here.
Hey, Mr. Quinn.
Hey, guys. I guess I should start off with an apology for my son.
What he revealed on the show. We're all very
embarrassed here at home.
You know, it's a shame because we're proud of the kid, you know what I mean? Getting a job in broadcasting. He went to school for this. He's lucky enough to get down to Clearwater. Station flies him down there. I mean, Gilio, Joe, you're great, but you're framing it like, you know, Kyle had an accident. You're making it sound like he deserves some sympathy, like he was in a car accident or something. He broke his hip. The kid peed the bed. That's something to be proud of.
Well, I didn't do it on purpose. So.
I'll talk to you when we get home, Kyle. You know what I mean? Kyle?
Oh, my God.
You know,
but what?
I said I'll talk to you when we get home. Stop talking back. You embarrassed your mother and your whole family.
All right, fine. I don't even live there anymore, so.
Listen, what did we talk about when you first got the job, Kyle? Yeah, right? We spent a good hour on it. I said, don't be sharing personal information about the family on the radio. You don't shame your family. You're not dragging us through the mud.
Why is this shaming the family?
Kyle.
I'm the one that did it.
Kyle, you don't need to make it worse. Stop talking back to me. I said, we'll talk about this when we get home. You just don't need to reveal that kind of information on the radio.
Not right.
I hate to tell you something, but it's not something we're proud of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not something we're proud of at all here.
Yeah, this feels like a lot.
Hey, you still have no remorse. You get no respect for the family name. You think it's fun? People coming up to me at work, wisecracking? It's all over the radio yesterday. Think I'm proud of that at work? Hey, Quinny, your son's doing a great job on the radio. He's number one, and it shows. Think that's funny?
It's a little funny.
Everybody laughing at you at the plant. Hey, I guess he went to school for yellow journalism. Is that what he learned in college?
Come on.
Your mother and I, we paid to send you all the way to the other side of the state, mm-hmm. Indiana, Pennsylvania. We thought you were doing good out there. And this, right? Last night, guy yells at me, your son likes those Philly sheets. They're red sheets with pee on them.
Oh, my God.
That's a big laugh, Kyle. Yeah, that's real funny. You're on restriction when you get home, all right?
Restriction.
I'm taking your wrestling guys and your army guys.
What, are you grounding me?
You're killing me. I got to take another Lisinopril. But the blood pressure medicine, it's not good for me, Kyle.
Oh, you're going
to
be
feed
fine.
Feed the bed, you're a slop. It's a slop, all right? I told you not to talk to back. Everybody knows now. Yeah, your mom's upset. Everybody knows you can't hold your liquor. You know, we got to throw the whole bed out. Christ, I might have to sell the house.
That feels like an overreaction.
Feed the bed. I'm selling the house.
Stop.
My drunk son peed the bed. You're
Stop.
An embarrassment. We can't even go to church in this neighborhood anymore. 30 years old, he pees the bed.
Fran, stop this. Hang up on him.
Oh, he's out. He's out.
Absurd.
Hugh tried to warn you not to tell the story.
Hey, man, it's like, listen, we're all inclusive, but some things you just can't share because.
Yeah, it's bad.
I understood what you were saying, but a lot of times we live in this microwave society where people don't get all the prudent information that they need. And all the only thing I heard was, you know, grown man peeing in the bed.
Well,
you
know, I feel bad because I didn't realize. I mean, you didn't think this through. At the plant, he's got to answer to his coworkers.
We have to stop taking his calls. I mean, it's getting out of control.
Well, the worst part for you today is
I kind of like him.
You were here, so you couldn't really hang up.
I know.
And Fran put him on the air back in the studio.
Now I'm on restriction. I get home. This is awesome.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome.
Even though I don't live there.
Yeah, he didn't seem to care about that.
No, that never does.
Call again, Mr. Quinn. I like his. Hugh, you think we should keep taking his calls?
I'm a fan.
Yeah, no, I think there's. It was a missing element to our show because, you know, Kyle can. I mean, Kyle talks back to everyone, but you got Mr. Quinn saying.
Yeah, he ain't got a whole lot to say with Mr. Quinn.
He doesn't take it well.
No, he doesn't take it well. I like that. Good call, Mr. Quinn. 215-592-9494. All right, let's head out to Tom, who's not any of our dads. He's up next on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, Hugh. I got to give you props right away.
What I do?
And
why?
Dude, the toilet seat thing, like, I got four boys that live with me. And that is a constant thing with my wife. With the toilet
seat. You don't put the toilet seat down? Yeah. You got to keep that thing down, man. Yeah,
I got four older men that are living with me. And
pee the bed?
It's a problem.
Do any of them wet the bed like Kyle?
Well, listen. After I just heard that Kyle thing, like, goddamn, he got problems.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, that one's gonna have to get done.
Yeah, of course. All right.
I knew it was Joe Conklin. God damn it, I know it.
That's twice.
Tom, appreciate you, buddy. We appreciate you. All right, Tom's gotta take a deep breath there.
That's what happens when you get comfortable, man.
Well, everyone got comfortable.
Yeah, everybody get comfortable. You know, that's how we do.
Tom was letting them fly, man.
Yeah. Well, he was. Back to back. Yeah. We can't have that. I blame Kyle for this.
Why?
Well, because if you didn't have your moment, then maybe your dad doesn't call, and maybe then Tom doesn't react to your dad. I mean, that's
he's emboldening. We're emboldening people.
He is absolutely emboldening people. All right, get on the record. Who do you want to be the Phillies' leadoff hitter? I am shocked that we are at 80% Trey Turner.
Well, I mean, I did I did make a
No. Just, let's not pretend this is because you're leading all the people.
It's like, you know, sometimes long talking is beneficial because I get a chance.
How come you always tell people not to long talk?
Well, because when they're telling stories, it's hard to pay attention.
It's fine.
Well, because I try to keep it concise, clear, and concise.
You did a terrible job. Seats.
I did. I tried to make it relatable, and toilet seats are relatable to people.
Sure.
Especially people that are in relationships.
If you use them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you put that toilet seat down. That's a good way to get your feelings hurt and cussed out, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Not putting down a toilet seat.
I want you to realize that people are not voting this way because of your...
I feel like it is.
No.
I feel like I'm a social media influencer.
Oh, stop. They're voting this way.
I feel like an influencer.
You're an influencer.
Yeah, I feel like that. I don't know why. I've heard that word been thrown around a lot, and I just feel like it's...
Too much.
It applies in this situation. It applies.
I don't think it does.
I'm going to have to disagree.
Here's what I think is going on. People have convinced themselves Turner's going to be the leadoff hitter, so they're now just – they're agreeing with it because they think it's going to happen. And I think – and Kyle said this in the first hour of the show. There's the idea of Trey Turner. He looks like a leadoff hitter. He should be a leadoff hitter.
He looks like a leadoff hitter.
He doesn't play like a leadoff hitter. You need to get on base to be a leadoff hitter. You need to get on base at a high level to be the Phillies' leadoff hitter. And Trey has not done that in his 2 years of Philadelphia Phillies, at least not consistently. I mean, Hugh, you always bring it up. He was an all-star last year.
Yes.
Right? That's your favorite thing to go
back to?
That's
my go-to.
It is.
That is my go-to. That is my go-to.
He was an all-star, yeah.
Yes, that's my go-to.
And then what happened after the all-star game?
Whew. I'm just saying that he's an all-star. That's all.
He was an all-star.
He definitely was an all-star.
Yeah, he was selected to the all-star game.
Tobias Harris an all-star?
Tobias Harris in the playoffs?
I haven't checked. I think the Pistons are in the playoffs.
How much does that hurt, though?
Because of Tobias Harris?
Well, no.
Tobias, he's a part of that. He's part of the squad.
You are.
Well, he is.
You're
sickening. I guess he is a part of
it. Why am I
you're the biggest Tobias Harris fan.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
This is actually a win for you. If he
I just find
business.
The irony in the whole situation.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The numbers where his dad talked about
Stop,
how.
Don't bring those up.
Okay, I won't.
So it should be in the rafters.
That was one of the most ridiculous moments in the history of our show.
But,
when you agreed with numbers on
Tobias's
credentials.
Stop. It's not like I agree with them. I understood them.
You did.
Numbers don't lie.
They do sometimes.
And it is kind of ironic. I'm just saying. Like, we haven't checked the standings. Mm-hmm. But.
I'm sure you just find it all fun and dandy.
That Detroit's playing better since he's been there.
Well, they're a better team than the Sixers. He's outplayed Paul George. It's a big joke, yeah.
Man, I wasn't going to bring up the Paul George thing. But somebody gave the numbers of his contribution. From the time that he was here last year,
yep.
Tobias, and Paul George's?
It's sickening.
Ooh.
It's sickening. Considering the money they spent on Paul George,
you might as well have
kept.
And at least Crumble Cookie played. He played.
Well,
now.
That he did.
He played. Yeah. Like, he didn't do a whole lot when he was out there.
He was out there.
He did post. He did show up every night. Meanwhile, Paul George has done a podcast and played.
He's dropping the podcast.
The best,
being shut down.
Yeah,
for the
that
season.
during the course of the season to tell everybody you about to get ready for the season during the season. That's a lot.
Well, hold on. Now that he's shut down, is he going to go back to the podcast?
I would advise him not to. If it was me, that's me.
You say just as a friend?
Yeah, as a friend, I would avoid that. 41 games this season for George, 16 points per game.
Nice.
I mean, it's as big of a disaster as you could have for a first year of a contract like this. Meanwhile, Quentin Grimes, who they found off the street, is dropping 40 points when he plays. 215-592-9494. Dave in Bent Salem is up, talking Turner and Schwarber for the leadoff spot. What's up, Dave?
Hope you guys are having a great time in spring training.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, we are having a nice time. Weather's perfect.
I love it, man. I cannot wait for our Philadelphia Phillies to start the 2025 season. Hopefully this is going to be the year for us.
Well, we're close, Dave. I mean, they've been close, and we're 9 days away from opening day here.
Without a doubt, and I know you guys are going back and forth, but this is my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I think this is a make-and-break year for Trey Turner. I think you have to put him in the leadoff spot. I would put Bryson Stott second because it keeps Bryce Harper in the third spot where he's comfortable, and then you can get your power hitters with Schwarber, Castellanos, and Boehm up after that. You got to do small ball, Joe. You know that. You got to have small ball in this game to get runs.
Mm-hmm. So you want Turner, Stott, Harper, Schwarber?
Yes, I definitely do because think about it. Trey and Bryson both have good speed. If they get on base, they can steal bases. They can move the runners. And then you get your power hitters up, they can get the runners in. And that's what I think they need to do. I just think they need to mix this lineup up because it's not it really hasn't worked the last couple of years. You got to do something different.
So they might. I mean, and they're certainly playing. I mean, they're obviously projecting that way with Turner hitting leadoff as much as he had in the spring. Dave, my only issue with that one, and I like Stott, and I think he's going to bounce back this year, but that's three straight lefties, 2-3-4. You're going Stott, Harper, Schwarber. I mean, you're kind of inviting the other manager to bring a lefty in late in the game.
I agree with that, Joe, and they're going to have to maybe learn how to hit lefties. And, you know, I also want to send one more thing out to Brandon Graham. Whatever he decides at noon, whether it's going to be to stay or retire, I love him. He's going to go down as one of the best Eagles in Philadelphia Eagles history, and I love him with all my heart and thank him for everything he gave to this organization and to all of us fans.
No, there's no doubt. Dave, we appreciate the phone call. Yes, we will air the Brandon Graham press conference coming up at noon
today. He's going to be on time.
Is Brandon going to be on time?
Yeah.
Are we going to rip him if he's not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Might as well.
Well, we haven't ripped Brandon in a long time. Hey,
Brandon doesn't get ripped at all.
Well, no. Well, 10 years ago he did. Those days are long gone now. He's a franchise icon now. Yes.
He's an iconic figure. No
the Brandon Graham press conference. He has an announcement to make. We will air that live at 12. That is the time that he's scheduled. But I think he'll be on time.
Yeah.
Now, would Hugh Douglas be on time for his retirement press conference?
No. I'll probably milk that thing for as long as I could.
Do you remember how you retired?
Yeah. I said, I'm done.
But, like, was it – did you call them? They called you?
No, they called – well, what happened was – what did I do? I got called in the office. Tom Hecker called and said, hey, bring your playbook.
So that you were cut?
I was cut.
Cut, okay.
And then I just retired. It wasn't no popping pageantry. It was just like, hey, I'm done.
So you didn't decide to try to keep going to another team?
Like, No, I was done. I was done. I was done.
And this was this summer 05?
This was right – this was during – the season was about to start.
05.
Yeah.
After the Super Bowl.
Was doing rehab. That's when they got Trent Cole. I saw my future when they got Trent. I was like, yeah, that cat about to take my job. I was like, it's a wrap. Had a nice run. And that was it. And I laid in the bed. I went to Atlanta for a little while. And I remember Howard Eskin calling and saying, hey, shout out to Howard. Hey, man, if you want to do radio, come back to Philly. And I thought about it for a little while. I was like, might as well. I'm not doing nothing else. And that was kind of it.
So we blame Howard for what's become here?
Hey, man. He said, hey, I'll never forget. Hey, genius. If you want to do radio, you come back to Philly. And I was like, all right, then, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to air this press conference today and listen to Brandon.
See what he got to say?
Yeah, I mean, look, he wants to make an announcement. The Eagles are letting him do that. Here's what I'm sure of. It's going to be about whatever he's deciding for his future. I mean, you don't hold a press conference and say, hey, like, what's up, guys? Like, he has something on his mind he wants to talk about. We're going to air it at noon today. And, you know, wherever this goes, I imagine, like, first I want to hear what he has to say. Because, Hugh, one thing that stands out is how long he's been here and how many games he has played in as an Eagle. We have never seen a player in an Eagles uniform play more games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the longevity to play 200 games, first of all, in any NFL career, but in the same uniform, it's wild. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I've told Brandon on more than one occasion, you know, that I was proud of him. And I know that might sound kind of weird, you know, because we both play in the NFL, but it's different because for me, you know, a lot of times as an elder statesman, you don't get a chance to praise like younger guys and admire their careers because you're the old head. But Brandon's seen a lot. And I posted that picture, how it started out for him. He was oft injured his early years. A lot of people didn't believe in him. He was being labeled a bust. And he was able to stay with one team for 15 years. That right within itself is a huge accomplishment in this day and age. When you talk about free agency and not living up to the expectations and to be in a position and in a city where they believed in you so much from the time that they drafted you, that you were able to wear just one uniform your whole entire career. That's one aspect of that when I look at him, that's very admirable. The second thing is that, buddy, you are part of some of the absolute greatest moments in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. You've been to three Super Bowls, bro. Like, most people would kill for that kind of career. You've won two. I know people say, well, he won two. I mean, I get that. But the fact it's so hard to go to the Super Bowl for you to be in Philadelphia as long as you've been in Philadelphia and to go to three. And you've seen so many different teams. You've been on so many different teams. You've been at when the city was been at its highest point, and you've been a part of it at its lowest point. And you've seen it all, and you got a lot to say about it. I can't wait to see what he's going to do next because, let's be honest, Brandon has he has the golden ticket. He's the kid that was on Willy Wonka. He can do whatever he wants to do. So I'm proud of him from that aspect too, man. It's just you've got a chance to live the type of career and have the type of career that most people that play in the NFL dream about. You know, we talk about Myles Garrett and how much money he made and how he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I would venture to say that if he had to make a choice between having the career that he's having, which he's a Hall of Famer, or having the career that BG's had, that would be something that that would be a conversation.
Well, I would think that, too. The Brandon Graham press conference is next. We'll air it in its entirety, react immediately afterwards. We're live Philly spring training. Brandon Graham press conference next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is turning the excitement up even higher for college basketball. Through the first two rounds of the tournament, bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you'll win a share of $1 million of bonus bets. Now, that's an upset you will not be upset about. I think Michigan's going down in round one. That's my upset picks. FanDuel is the best place to bet on the tourney. You can bet on everything from spreads to money line and team totals, plus so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day, because in March, anything could happen. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.